Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Media Watch podcast. This is John Lewis, joined as always by Drew Lerner. Please subscribe to the SMW podcast feed on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let's get right to it. Another week, another big number for Caitlin Clark, another audience of over 3 million for the Big Ten tournament final on CBS. Probably a lot more viewers than that if it hadn't been on at noon. This is kind of an interesting thing because women's college basketball has grown so quickly that the networks have not had time to adjust yet. By the time they adjust, Caitlin Clark will be gone. Now, the sport is still strong beyond her. We just saw 2 million for the LSU South Carolina women's SEC tournament final. That was a game that could easily have been on ABC, but they, of course, blocked out the whole day for the Academy Awards. But, there's plenty left in this tank beyond Caitlin Clark, but you can tell that the growth of this sport has accelerated so much. The networks really weren't prepared for it because CBS would have put that game on at 4 if they had anticipated the numbers being this good. I want to be clear. Caitlin Clark was a tremendous draw last year, and the numbers were not nearly this good. The Big Ten tournament final, which did air on ESPN, but in a later time slot of, 5 o'clock, had under 800,000 viewers last year. And that was a great number. At the time, it was like, wow, what a great number for women's college basketball. It was under 800,000. So the growth here has been very sharp, very sudden, and the networks have not quite caught up because I think a lot of those games on Sunday, those 4 conference title games, those were network quality games, at least the SEC, Pac-12, and Big Ten. Those were network quality games. Those belonged on over the air much more so than Drake, Indiana State did.
I want to go over some of the numbers you posted on your site for the conference tournament finals over the weekend. Overall, if you're looking at the Power Four here, well, I guess the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, and ACC.
Right. It's not the Power Four. It's just that the Big 12 does series later. That's all.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But if you're looking at the numbers from this past weekend, if you're combining all that viewership, a 221% increase year over year in viewers, combining those 4 finals from last year to this year. Those 4 title games averaged 2.18 million viewers this year, as opposed to 678,000 last year. Of course, a lot of that is anchored by Caitlin Clark and 3.02 million, but the SEC title game, South Carolina, LSU, nearly gets 2 million. The Pac-12, almost 1.5 million with USC, Stanford, ACC, 680,000, Notre Dame, NC State. I mean, these are very substantial numbers for the women's game. But it is shocking to see percentage wise year over year, a 221% increase in those games. I mean, it's just a testament to the women's game in general. This was not exclusive to Caitlin Clark. Every single conference saw year-over-year growth. The SEC and the Pac-12 in particular triple digit percentage growth, 126% for the SEC, 461% for the Pac-12. Just kind of absurd numbers to look at.
Yeah, and you know, Juju Watkins, a lot of people have been talking about her. I haven't really paid any attention because up to Sunday, I don't think USC had drawn particularly well this season. But certainly all it takes is, you know, one big sampling. USC won the game, and you know, it looks pretty good, the future of women's college hoops. And if you've got a good USC team, you know, Caitlin Clark's been doing all this at Iowa. Iowa's not a school that people are particularly interested in nationally. Certainly not their football team, unless they're, you know, joking about the scoring. So USC, you get USC good, and that'll be a very interesting test.
And all this is to say that, you know, women's college basketball probably will have staying power after Caitlin Clark. This is not something that is going to fall off very much because of the success of other schools. Has Caitlin Clark helped the game as a whole? Certainly. That's inarguable, but there's plenty of characters, storylines to go around in women's college basketball, and I think the growth is here to stay, and we'll continue to see large numbers into the future.
When you lose a big star like a Michael Jordan, and I'm not comparing Caitlin Clark to Michael Jordan, people love to use the Jordan comparison to diminish everyone who came after him, because that's always a healthy thing to do. But I'm not trying to compare it to Michael Jordan, but I am saying that when you lose a star like that, it really depends on what you have left. So when Jordan left in 94, the NBA's ratings really fell off pretty hard the next year, and actually recovered in 95. Now, Jordan, of course, came back, but he didn't make it deep in the playoffs. The NBA was so much healthier in 95 than 94. And you could say, well, Jordan's return, but that was like in late March, right? And again, when you think about the 95 playoffs, you think about Hakeem, you think about Shaq, you think about Reggie Miller, and it was all of the other teams that were drawing pretty well and kind of had something going there. And that's kind of where I think women's college hoops is right now, where, okay, obviously the ratings are going to be way better if Caitlin Clark is there this year, and they're going to be lower next year without her. There's no doubt. Next year, you might see double-digit declines for the regular season, certainly. But there's enough there. There are enough teams, enough stars, and enough storylines that next season, certainly this season, if Clark loses early, the ratings will still be quite good. And next season, I think you'll still see numbers that we would not have expected for this sport 4 or 5 years ago.
Now, there's been a narrative, John, this season about the women's game starting to eclipse, at least in the, you know, the cultural zeitgeist, the men's game. There's just more intriguing storylines. You have the superstars over on the women's side. The men's side is kind of wading in waters that are unknown. You know, there's just not really the superstar power that the women's game has right now. Is that a trend that you see continuing into next year once Caitlin Clark is gone?
There's definitely something real there, where the women's game has the advantage of having players with continuity and the men's game does not, you know, and the lack of continuity on the men's game is a problem. But, you know, I see two things here. One is patronization, and the other is, you know, the cynical use of women's sports to complain about men's sports you have an issue with, right? So one is the patronization, right? You hear this all the time. Wow, the women's game is great. I mean, it's even better than the men's. And it's like, well, I feel like you're just saying that because you want people to think you're like a good guy. And that's not me saying the women's game isn't better than the men's. It's me questioning the motives of like a Bill Simmons, right? Look, I don't judge Bill Simmons for stuff he said when he was, you know, I guess in his 30s, 20 years ago. You know, I mean, I guess when you're in your 30s, you should probably be held somewhat accountable for the stuff he said. But times do change. They legitimately change, and people legitimately change. Having said that, I remember all the cheap shots this guy was taking at the WNBA. Everybody does. And granted, everyone was taking cheap shots at the WNBA. You could find WNBA jokes everywhere. It wasn't, limited to Bill, but you know, you hear him talking about how now he prefers the women's game to the men's game, and it's like, yeah, well, whatever. I don't take that seriously. I think that's there's this thing that people do where they like talk about, I don't want to say the girl dad stuff because that came out after Kobe died, and that's from Kobe. But I do feel like there's a lot of that stuff where people are like, well, it's a father of daughters. And it's like, I feel like, you know, it's not for me to feel patronized, but I feel like that's really patronizing. I don't know if other people agree. To me, I think that's where a lot of this comes from. And then there's the other part of it, and I think a ton of it comes from this, the cynical usage of women's sports as a cudgel against men's sports. So the odious Clay Travis, we saw him do this. You know, he doesn't care about women's sports. They're talking about how, oh, well, women's basketball is regularly stomping the NBA, which isn't even true. And the only reason he's talking about that isn't because he's trying to flatter women's basketball. It's because he knows that women's basketball is supposed to be unpopular. So by saying the NBA's viewership is lower, he's trying to insult the NBA. The reality is, of course, that women's basketball has had tremendous viewership growth and has reached occasionally, very rarely, but still, occasionally, three times this season, it has reached past where the NBA is. But it's not that the NBA has fallen, it's that women's basketball has grown. Most people know this, but Clay's counting on people not knowing it. So there's that aspect where you're using the women's game as a cudgel against the men's. And we see it in the college level as well. People who don't really care about the women's game, they don't really admire the women's game, but they hate the one and done. And so the women's game allows them the opportunity to say, shame on you for this one and done thing that has ruined my favorite sport. And I don't really think there's a lot of genuine sentiment there, honestly.
That's interesting. I mean, I think there is credence to the argument that, you know, the transfer portal in the men's game is probably a little more prevalent. There's probably, you know, more NIL money on the men's side, which encourages that type of player movement. There's less continuity in the coaches as well. There's just, for honestly, some of the same reasons. I mean, these coaches, I'm sure this happens on the women's side as well. Maybe I'm just not as familiar with, but there's coaches that are constantly, you know, moving around to find their next paycheck on the men's side. And this is something we've always said with college basketball. It's often a coach-driven sport. The coach is kind of the icon when it comes to, you know, the branding of these teams. So when you lose, you know, Coach K, Roy Williams, you know, Jim Boeheim, all in the span of, you know, a couple of years, that's hard for a sport to come back from. I do think part of what you said that it's opportunistic for certain people to use the women's game compared to the men's in order to, you know, further their point. I don't think the men's game is necessarily on the decline. I think it's in a lull year, but it's not as if there's never going to be another superstar that, you know, comes through Duke or UNC. And there's going to be coaches that, you know, write their stories and are able to, you know, create their own brands. So given the fact that the men's game has what is, you know, commonly called as the best postseason in American sports to fall back on as a crutch, you know, I think people are always going to have a baseline level of interest in March Madness. It's, you know, at a time in the sports calendar when it's really the only thing going on. It's the only thing people are paying attention to. It's always exciting, at least for those first couple rounds where, you know, anything can happen. It's a matter of, all right, if we're getting San Diego State and Florida Atlantic and Miami in the Final Four every year, that becomes an issue. You know, you need some of those big time programs to step up and cement their legacies to maintain the level of viewership that is expected of that tournament.
And I do want to say this, the women's game is doing well on its own merits and doesn't need to be compared to anything. And obviously, comparison is the thief of joy. And I don't think comparisons are made for neutral reasons. I think comparisons are inevitably made to trash something. Well, I shouldn't say inevitably made, because I make my fair share of comparisons. Sometimes comparisons are just there for context. But quite a few times, comparisons are there to trash something. And oftentimes, the thing that you're putting on a pedestal isn't even something you care about. It's just something that you're using as a convenient way to say something else. And I think the women's game is doing well on its own merits. It can be discussed in the context of itself. And when you're using it as an entryway to just trash the men's game, college or pro, whichever one you've got a problem with, that's not really support or anything where I think you reasonably get to claim whatever progressive mantle you're trying to claim.
I want to take this moment now to kind of transition into a couple other media stories within college basketball. The first of which is Greg Gumbel, who will not be returning to broadcast the NCAA tournament this year due to some health issues in his family. Gumbel, of course, everyone knows because of his Selection Sunday hosting, right? And of course, hosting the studio throughout the tournament. But for me, he's always iconic when it comes to the selection show. Announcing who's in and who's out. It's just, I can't imagine any other voice doing that. The good news is, John, that we will be in more than capable hands. Ernie Johnson will be replacing Greg Gumbel this year on the broadcast. So what are your overall thoughts on this unfortunate circumstance that has forced Ernie into a more elevated studio role?
Well, it happens. You know, Ernie himself has missed assignments because of family issues. He missed a 2011 baseball postseason caring for his son. It does happen. It doesn't necessarily mean the end of Greg's career doing this because he's 77. And, sports media is a lot like presidential politics. You can keep going until you're 90, right? So I know that Marv in the NBA missed the COVID bubble restart, but he was back the next year, and that was his final year. You know, I'm sure Greg would like to have at least one or maybe two, maybe even three final go-rounds doing this before he hangs it up. He has reduced his on-air presence, stopped doing the NFL. Who knows? Hopefully we'll see him back again. As you said, Ernie's done this before. He has hosted the selection show. Remember the disastrous selection show that aired on CBS a few years ago? Ernie did host that. I don't think he's going to host this one because Adam Zucker is more than capable of doing that, and Ernie has his NBA duties, including Thursday. Like, Ernie's doing the NBA Thursday tomorrow. So I do think Adam Zucker will handle the selection show, and Zucker can do that. They're going to have to find someone to replace Greg anyway because, you know, he's not going to do it till 90. He could, but he's not going to. This is a good opportunity to try out Zucker, who's been doing this studio stuff for CBS for quite some time. I think it'll be an adjustment. I know they're going to have Adam Lefko is going to be doing some stuff. He actually did it last year, which is a bit surprising. I'm not trying to just disparage anybody. Lefko is a little bit of an acquired taste, I would say. You know, and I always thought Casey Stern was excellent for the tournament. I mean, he and Candace Parker had a great rapport, but that's what I'm still trying to figure out, why they needed to get rid of Casey Stern when his family situation was, you know, what it was. I mean, but Lefko to me was a bit of a downgrade from Casey Stern, and I'm not huge on him on the tournament.
Maybe let's not bury the lead here, because I think the biggest story when it comes to March Madness in the announcer sphere is, yep, of course, Ian Eagle taking over for Jim Nance in the Final Four. The rest of that team will stay the same. He'll be alongside Bill Raftery, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson. But to me, this is what I'm most excited to see. I think Ian Eagle is probably my favorite basketball announcer doing it right now, and to give him the opportunity on the big stage, it's something I think he's probably deserved for quite some time. Yeah. So, and of course, who doesn't love Bill Raftery, right?
It's a great team. It's a great team. Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery can do it by themselves, and it'll be just as good. No offense to Grant Hill, but just Eagle and Raftery is a great team, and Eagle deserves it. He'll be an improvement over Jim Nance, and that's no slight to Jim Nance. But he will be a marked improvement over Jim Nance. And again, that's no slight. Ian might be the best basketball play-by-play voice working today, and that's no slight to Mike Breen. So for him to finally have the opportunity to call the big game in America, because I know he's called some of these things internationally, including the Super Bowl, for him to have the opportunity to call the big game for an American audience, you know, it's about time. He's Jack Buck. He's going to get outshined by his son, just like Jack Buck. And by the way, I'm sure he'll be thrilled that that will be the case. Noah will be the Joe Buck, and Ian's going to be the Jack Buck, and Ian will be perfectly fine with that.
You know, it's tough when you think about, you know, the, you know, pantheon of great announcers, play-by-play announcers. There's just so few, like, marquee events that these guys can call. You know, you have a Super Bowl, World Series, NBA Finals, NHL Finals, and then it's, what else? You know, college football, college basketball, you know, maybe the Masters. You know, there's a few other big events, Daytona. But some of those are more specialized, yeah. So you're never going to get the opportunity unless you're already covering the sport. There's really just events like this are few and far between that you can be an incredible play-by-play announcer and never even sniff a job like this. So for Ian to, you know, finally get his opportunity on the big stage, I think it's, you know, a testament to his ability as a basketball announcer. And, you know, having watched some of his games with Raftery this year, man, I'm excited. I mean, they are such a fun duo to watch and listen to. They clearly love doing it as well. You can tell how excited Ian is to be able to call games with Raftery. Grant Hill as well, I think, is going to be a fine addition, but like you said, you know, this could have just been a two-man. They never do that for the tournament finals anymore, but
Grant is great. Ian and Grant have a rapport. Grant insists on calling Ian Bird. I guess that's all right. You know, Grant is he's like water. He's essential to the functioning of the human body, but you don't necessarily pursue water. You maybe want something with electrolytes. You want some Brondo, right? And, you know, I'm not saying Bill Raftery's Brondo, but, you know, he's certainly closer to that than Grant Hill is. So, but, you know, it two-man booth is fine. Three-man booth, because it's CBS and Turner in a partnership. This kind of works out perfectly. Eagle is CBS and Turner. Raftery is CBS. Hill is Turner. So it works out perfectly.
All right, one more quick media note in college basketball. Some unfortunate news about Bill Walton coming out last week. He has missed several of his more recent assignments due to a health issue of his own. Awful announcing reported on Sunday of last week, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, we have missed him for conference championship week. We don't know when he'll be returning. His final regular season game was supposed to be the final Pac-12 game, presumably ever. And then, of course, he was scheduled to call the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas starting Wednesday and going through Friday. Was his schedule. It does not appear as if he will be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill Walton has had health issues his whole adult life. So, you know, we don't know what health issues means. I think that, you know, Bill is different than the average person, where to me, the worst case scenario would be like if his back was giving him trouble again, because you know that Bill has to be active. He has to be on his bike. He has to be able to move and do the things he likes. When he had all those back problems that forced him out of broadcasting, you know, he's been on the record about this. He said that he was suicidal. So that's one thing. I hope it wasn't anything to do with that. You know, I mean, obviously there's any number of things that can afflict a 70-something-year-old person. But to me, I look at those physical limitations that Bill has dealt with his whole adult life as being things that I hope he's not dealing with. I did have the opportunity to see Bill at All-Star Weekend. You know, he would look perfectly great. He, you know, he's a larger-than-life person. Actually got a chance to fist bump him at All-Star Weekend, which was kind of cool. Hopefully we'll be able to see him out and about at other places. It was an NBA and NBC reunion at that tech summit. You had Ahmad hosting. Bob Costas did the interview of Larry Bird, and Bill Walton was in the crowd watching the whole thing and looking like he was having a great time. So whatever happened to Bill since then, because that was less than a month ago, obviously has to be pretty sudden, and hopefully it will not be anything that keeps him out of commission too long.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, that's actually a great segue, John, into one of the other topics we'll quickly cover here, and that is the NBA's exclusive negotiating window with its incumbent rights partners. Of course, that is Turner and ESPN. That window is officially open. I've seen some reporting that I think it was they're 75% on their way to a deal, so you can anticipate that those incumbents will reach a new deal with the NBA. But the interesting thing I saw in the reporting recently is that NBC seems more likely than maybe we presumed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so this is from Tom Friend at Sports Business Journal. He was also at that tech summit. And of course, you might remember him from ESPN reporting on LeBron James. When LeBron was at St. Vincent St. Mary's, Tom Friend was on the LeBron beat for SportsCenter 20-something years ago. I was surprised to see that NBC was mentioned as expected. There's just not been a lot of smoke to that effect. I hope that's true. I'd love to see the NBA back on NBC. The reality is that it would be a lot like Sunday Night Football, where Sunday Night Football has nothing in common with the NFL on NBC of the 90s, with Dick Enberg and, you know, Bob Trumpy and Paul McGuire. I mean, that's a completely different broadcast, and the aesthetic of the broadcast is completely different. Obviously, Sunday Night Football has more in common with Monday Night in the ABC era. I think that what you'll see is, if you do get the NBA and NBC back, it's not going to be like it was in the 90s. I was thinking about it. A lot of the people from the NBA and NBC are still with us, surprisingly, given how long it's been. Marv Albert, Tom Hammond. Obviously, we don't have Dick Enberg, we don't have Steve Jones, and we don't have Jim Fagan, the voiceover guy, who have all passed. But the reality is, there's still a lot of folks still around from that era, but they sure as heck aren't going to be working. So it's going to be completely different cast, same theme song, because they know what they're doing, I'm sure. But completely different cast, completely different feel. It'll probably have more in common with the NBA on ESPN, sadly, than with the NBA on NBC. But I do think there's plenty of good personnel that NBC has for an NBA package, like Mike Tirico, obviously, Noah Eagle. I'd like to see them use Tirico as the studio host and Eagle as the lead play-by-play. Tirico is a great heir to Bob Costas. I mean, if you can call him an heir, I mean, you know, at this point, Tirico's in his own right, obviously. But Tirico has what Costas had, and ABC only used him in the studio for 3 years. But he has that. So putting him as the studio host and Noah Eagle play-by-play, continue to ride that train with Noah Eagle. Van Gundy and Jackson, you know, you could put together a pretty good crew. Now, of course, what you really want to hear from me, though, is do I think this can happen? I'll put it this way. I don't really sense a lot of smoke surrounding it. But I obviously don't have any way of saying that it's not going to happen. I hope it does. I think the NBA desperately needs a real over-the-air partner. Right now, they have games on over-the-air, but they are a cable-only sport. They need a real over-the-air partner that actually wants to have sports on over-the-air television. NBC would certainly qualify.
This is why I think it makes sense for both parties here. The NBA, as you mentioned, desperate for a true over-the-air partner. And NBC, you know, maybe they have a little leverage to negotiate the size of their package, right? Maybe they don't want a ton of inventory, but they want a more of a premier package akin to Sunday Night Football, right? Where you're getting one of the better games each week in the same time slot. You're able to program, you know, a pregame and a postgame show around it where it feels a little bit bigger, a little bit elevated. And then you're getting a piece of the postseason, perhaps even a finals rotation if they can pull that off. That's just pure speculation. But it kind of makes sense, you know, that they don't really need a huge presence to make this worth it for them.
Yeah, there's not going to be triple headers. You're not going to have an NBA triple header on NBC, right? But what you might have is Sunday night basketball. I've heard people mention that. The NBA has never had a Sunday night package of games. Never. Not even in the NBC era. So that would be new. And obviously, Sunday nights on network television, that's, you know, automatically you're going to get better ratings for that than the Saturday night games in ABC. So the NBA certainly stands to gain, even if the NBA's popularity were to decline, which, given the status of LeBron and Steph in their late 30s, the NBA is probably going to be less popular once this deal starts than it is today. But if you're putting games on in prime slots like Sunday nights, the ratings might nonetheless go up. So I think there's a lot of value to that. Like I said, I think it'll have more in common with the NBA and ESPN. It may have more in common with Sunday Night Football than with the old NBA and NBC. One game a week, Sunday nights, maybe an hour-long pregame show. I think there's, you know, who knows? It's certainly anything is better than what the NBA has had for the last 23 years where, you know, we're coming up, ABC's done for the year. It's March 13th. Their next game is a playoff game. This is absurdity. I understand avoiding the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and I guess now the women's as well you have to avoid too. But to not have another game the rest of the year is ridiculous.
The other nugget to come from this SBJ report was Amazon being the digital front runner for an NBA package. This was, of course, presumed before this report came out. Nonetheless, it did mention Amazon as the front runner. It also mentioned Google and Apple to a lesser extent as possible players in that space. So this would kind of, you know, this would indicate that the NBA is likely going to have four partners here, which, you know, if you were putting the over under at 3.5 a couple months ago, it was probably a tough decision. Now it seems more likely that it'll be with the three traditional television partners and the one digital partner, possibly Amazon.
The way I look at it is TNT gives up those Tuesdays. They don't need them. They can't figure out how to program those Tuesdays. TNT gives up those Tuesdays. ESPN gives up. Well, it's a good question. Does ESPN? But it's a really good question. If NBC comes in, does ABC continue to air any games other than the finals? Because look at how ABC handles the NHL, right? They don't air anything, at least in the playoffs, until the cup final. Now you say to yourself, well, why in the world would there not be any games on ABC? Because if ESPN is going to have less inventory, who's going to lose the games? ESPN doesn't care about ABC. ESPN has to be dragged into airing games on ABC. They want everything for ESPN. So if you're going to cut inventory, are you going to cut those Wednesday night ESPN games? Or if NBC comes in, are you going to cut those Saturday and Sunday ABC games? And I think that's what you would see cut. So NBC, now ABC would still air the finals because ESPN wants the finals and won't be able to get away with carrying it on its cable networks. But I think what you'll see is NBC becomes the over-the-year home of the NBA. ABC, maybe, I don't know, maybe they keep Christmas. I don't know. Maybe they get a handful of playoff games or something, but NBC gets in as the main network. Now, the real question to me is, what do you do with the conference finals? Do ESPN and TNT keep the conference finals and then NBC has the finals? Where does Amazon fit in? Now, that's going to be difficult. The NBA did not used to assign conference finals to networks in the old deals, but they've been doing that for 20-something years, and I will be very curious to see how that works.
That'll be a hugely interesting point when these deals are finalized. If I had to guess, I don't think ESPN / Disney is really in the mood to give up any of the NBA finals. I think that's something they want exclusively with them. Maybe they could agree to having it on NBC for a couple years out of, 8 or 10 or however long these deals will be. But I think the vast majority of them will stay on ESPN's properties. When it comes to Amazon, though, I think for them it makes sense to maybe get the play-in tournament, maybe one series in the first round, but I'm not sure they're going to have a huge playoff presence. It's hard to see where Amazon would fit in.
Yeah, the way that I look at it is, you have NBA TV. Those NBA TV games in the playoffs could be good for Amazon. I don't think Amazon's going to be limited to the first round. This is not the NFL. So you have to have a little bit of playoff inventory. I think Amazon will get a few second round playoff games. I mean, that's where the ratings are best. I do wonder, did the RSN still get exclusivity? Or not exclusivity, excuse me. Do the RSN still get to coexist in the first round? Right? Because
that's
second
a great question.
Round onward, it's total exclusivity for the national networks. To me, some exclusivity in the first round would be pretty valuable as well. So that's all stuff to look at. But I do think Amazon will get into at least a second round, at least a handful of second round games. You know, you don't have enough inventory to split across four networks without weird stuff going on. It's going to be awkward. Okay, game one's on NBC. Game two is on TNT. Game three is on Amazon. Game four is on ESPN. You know, it's going to get wild, right? And it's going to get awkward. So this isn't baseball either, where you could just say, okay, you have the AL and you have the NL. Can you give the Eastern Conference to one set of networks in the West to the other? Who would want that? You can't do doubleheaders that way. So there's a lot to figure out. Four partners is very complicated. We'll see. But like I said, you said you think ESPN will get the finals exclusively. What's the point of getting NBC in there if they're not getting the finals, to me? ESPN, I've said it before, I said that ESPN had been a flat-out wretched steward of the NBA. And that probably sounded a little bit intense, but I stand by it. I think they've done an awful job being a steward of the game. Steward is different than broadcaster. ESPN is a competent broadcaster. A steward of the game is a network that understands that the welfare of the league is something that actually matters. ESPN doesn't care one whit about the NBA's welfare. And, you could say, well, ESPN's a journalistic outfit. It shouldn't. Yeah, that's not true. ESPN cares deeply about the NFL. We know that. But ESPN doesn't really care about anything else. They certainly don't care about baseball. They don't, I think they care a little bit about hockey because they're trying to make up for, the divorce there. But, to me, you want to have at least one partner that cares about the league. Turner does, but you want that partner to have the biggest events. The NBA has entrusted its biggest events to a company in ESPN that has no particular desire to make the league look good. It's been an article of faith for as long as there have been television deals that by signing that contract to broadcast games, you're in it together. It's a partnership. Now, that doesn't really have great implications for journalism, but it's not like ESPN is doing good journalism about the NBA. It's not like ESPN's kind of, arm's length relationship with the NBA has resulted in great journalism. All it's done is result in loudmouths trashing the players, right? That's it. So it would be one thing if ESPN wasn't promoting the NBA, but it was like digging into, well, here's the owner's relationship with X and Y. And then I could say, okay, fine, it's worth it. But not if all you're getting is debate fodder. So to me, I would hate for the NBA to sign a deal with NBC and still see the finals on ESPN every year. Frankly, I think the finals should be on NBC every year if NBC is going to have the rights. And ESPN can be sated by the fact that they still have a conference final exclusively on their cable networks, that they still have the inventory that they have, you know, or, you know, I mean, give them a few games on ESPN Plus, right? Give them a full exclusive night on ESPN Plus. That's another thing we haven't discussed. ESPN Plus is going to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Max is going to be a part of this. Peacock is going to be a part of this. So you're talking about four partners. You're talking about seven networks.
It is a lot to sort through. And, you know, when you talk about NBC, you know, exclusively having the finals, I think it's really dependent on their appetite to pay for that, right? I mean, ESPN has shown that they do have the appetite to pay for that premier inventory. Who knows how much NBC wants to just jump into the deep end of the pool here and go full bore on broadcasting the finals. I'm sure the NBA would love that, right? Every finals game on broadcast. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's already what it is, but you get the idea, right?
Well, every finals game is going to be on broadcast anyway. Yeah. But to me, what else is NBC going to air? You know, they still do their NBC championship season promos, and it's like just IndyCar and golf now, right? They've lost everything. They have nothing left. They even lost the USFL. They can't air anything after the Kentucky Derby this year. They have no rights.
I mean, right? The Belmont. It's
yeah,
the
they
Kentucky
don't even have the Belmont. Right. They don't even
they
have
only
the
have
Belmont.
Two of the three Triple
so
Crowns.
NBC, this is a great time of year for NBC. It's been a great time of year for NBC, continuously going back to forever. Because before they had, you know, hockey, they had the NBA. Before they had the NBA, they still had baseball every week this time of year. They have nothing. They've got nada. This is like the days when they had to pretend that people wanted to watch the Arena Football League, right? Remember when they had the Bon Jovi intro and all that? Like, they need to have something. So if you're going to get into the NBA, you might as well get a few nice nights in prime time out of it too. All right. I mean, so who knows? We are talking about Comcast here. We keep saying NBC, but it's Comcast. They've got money. And to me, if you're going to get into the NBA business on over-the-air television, and you're going to devote presumably nights in prime time to the NBA, then you might as well get a finals out of it.
All right, John, another sports media quick hitter here. WBD and their network True TV will be converting into a pseudo sports network of sorts. They will be ditching their old fare of Impractical Jokers for MotoGP racing and NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying sessions. So what are your thoughts on True TV going full in for sports programming?
Well, keep in mind, those are already announced. The announcement from last week was that they're going to be doing this primetime block that's already started, because it started on Monday. I haven't checked it out yet. You know, I think the future of True TV is being rebranded as TNT Sports, right? So you'll have TNT and you'll have TNT Sports. Everything that airs on TNT will also air on TNT Sports. But TNT will also have, well, I mean, I presume TNT still airs original programming. Who knows? Under Zaslav, I'm not sure anymore. But that, to me, is the future of True TV, is to become the first ever 24, well, no, not the first ever. The first since CNN SI, 24-hour sports channel under the Turner umbrella. So I do think that's their future. Without Impractical Jokers, I don't know why True TV still needs to exist. And with Impractical Jokers, I don't know why True TV still needs to exist. This is Court TV. This is what this used to be. They rebranded it, had some dumb reality shows for a few years, some comedies. And now I think it's time to go the way of, you know, the way of many cable channels and rebrand completely. TNT Sports, 24-hour sports network. I wouldn't be surprised to see that within the next couple of years.
I mean, to me, this makes sense just given the joint venture with Fox and Disney, right? They're probably the one party in that joint venture that's not quite pulling their weight, so to speak. You know, they don't have the NFL, so they're not bringing the same value to the table that the other two are. Adding True TV as a, 24/7 sports network, gives them a little bit more juice when it comes to that partnership. So maybe they can negotiate a smidgen higher carriage fee out of True TV now.
Yeah. And they do have programming. They air the Dan Le Batard show on Max. You just put that in on True TV, excuse me, or TNT Sports if they rebrand it. I think that's the future. 24 hours of sports on that channel.
All right, John. One more topic to finish up our potpourri of sports media topics here. Fox last week, it was reported that they will be airing college football games on Friday evenings to replace what used to be their WWE SmackDown time slot. This game is probably going to come from, Big Ten, Mountain West, or Big 12. I imagine just off the bat, they're going to put a couple big games in this time slot to get familiarize people that this is happening. But past that, it'll be interesting to see the pedigree of team that they get to play on Friday nights.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is the quality of the games, as you said? Because Big Noon Saturday is still the big Fox window. Now, obviously, you can't put Pac-12 teams who will be in the Big Ten and Big 12. You can't put them on Big Noon Saturday. So, an Oregon, Ohio State, or a Washington, Michigan, those are great Friday night matchups potentially, but they're also great Saturday night matchups and Saturday afternoon. And Friday night doesn't measure up to Saturday at 3:30 or Saturday at 8. So I'll be very intrigued to see what the hierarchy is, because realistically, you can try to create, when Fox created Big Noon Saturday, that was a window that was already doing well. It's not like Fox created noon college football out of nothing. There were big games in the noon window all the time, and the noon window would do impressively occasionally. And Fox saw that to their credit, and they put a regular game there. But Friday night is not like that. There's no record of Friday night games doing really, really well. And I think you'll win prime time, and that's worth something. That winning 3:30 on a Saturday isn't. You'll win your time slot easily because there's no other games. But you'll get bigger numbers at 3:30 and 8 on Saturday than you will on Friday night. But that's not the only consideration. So we'll see what happens there. But do not necessarily go in convinced that this is going to be the game of the week.
All right, John. Good talking. I think that Fox Friday night game is going to be an interesting one to see who they're bringing to that night. But in any case, that is for another podcast. Why don't you close us out here?
All right, NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments coming soon. We are heading into the postseason as well of college hockey, all sorts of sports. You can find all the schedules and information on sportsmediawatch.com. We'll see you back here next week, or if there's no news next week, whenever we see you.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.